Michael Johnson, and on this F5 podcast, part two of our conversation with Peter Silva, a technical marketing manager at F5 Networks, discussing secure remote access and business disaster preparedness. If someone is listening to this and they're considering, you know, what they need to do for their business, do they need to worry about, just data and infrastructure, or are there other things that they need to consider?
Yeah, so of course, data, being able for their end users to get the data and their infrastructure being solid is one. But, what a lot of people forget when it comes to these sorts of things is people. People are just as important in the planning because, people might not be available. So you kind of got to plan for maybe less bodies during a particular event, or make sure that you plan that, you have this group of bodies doing one thing and this group of folks doing another thing, and then, this other gang, potentially, doing what they need to do. So, a lot of this disaster recovery and all these sorts of things, oftentimes are focused on the data or, the infrastructure, making sure that all these things are available to the end users. But what, many people kind of forget is, what about not only the individuals trying to get to that, but the individuals that will be responsible for, fixing the situation, if you will.
So how are you going to, you have those folks out there, like you're saying, people you need to consider. How are you going to grant them access?
Well, it's quite simple. I kind of necessarily didn't mention, but you would grant them access, again, as I mentioned earlier, via browser. Now, that obviously, makes it quite simple for all those individuals out there. All they need is a browser, but, therein lies sort of the complexity of it, too, for the very same reason. Because everybody has a browser, potentially those that you don't want to get in or attempt to get in will try to get in. But usually, SSL/VPN devices will be able to authenticate back to your Active Directory controller or an LDAP system or Radius or, whatever the corporate authentication scheme is. One thing I also want to mention, when deciding on, employees and employees gaining access, you always want to make sure that, we kind of talk that, people coming in from, potentially their home computers, sometimes in these situations. So, one of the other pieces of all this is also doing that host check. So you have a particular IT policy on all your corporate laptops. They have to have, antivirus, and they have to have certain reg keys or a machine certificate or some identifier that says this is an IT trusted device. People coming from their home computers, well, that's a whole other mishmash of various stages of, patched machines, unpatched machines, Windows 95 boxes, 2000, XP, now Vista. So there's a whole various slew of devices out there. So it's quite important to check these devices prior, making sure that they at least abide by some basic parameters that are set by IT, such as antivirus or firewall or, some other piece of information or some other, piece of security that will keep your network safe. It could be the same username and password coming from their corporate laptop and they get access to everything, but because I'm coming, say, from my home machine, I may get limited resources. Now, still, I'll have enough resources to do my job, but I might not have, the full reign of all the critical and potentially sensitive information that I might have access to if I was coming from, a corporate trusted device.
Right.
So host checks are very important.
Right, and also that, home computers are notorious for being ones that are used as, places to launch attacks as well. So you have to be careful about the other things coming into your network as well that somebody may not even know is on their home computer.
Absolutely.
So does F5 have an SSL VPN solution?
Oh, why, yes, we do. Funny you should ask. And it's called the FirePass.
Tell me some of the features.
Sure. Like most SSL VPN devices, FirePass offers three modes of different types of connectivity. So, of course, end users would go to a customized logon page, if you will, that's unique to the company. And once, again, they authenticate with Active Directory, any other authentication schemes, they are then, you know, authorized to do maybe three different types of things. One would be a layer three connection, so a full network access tunnel to the corporate network. Secondly would be portal access, so to web applications, maybe their intranet or their internal CRM system or, you know, Oracle or, you know, whatever, SharePoint, you know. And then third would be sort of a port forwarding, an app tunnel, if you will, where it's very specific. So to a specific server over a specific port and then using this specific application. So really locking it down for security. Now with FirePass, and to be clear, you know, all SSL VPNs, or I should say most of the leading vendors, offer those three modes. So there's really no difference, if you will, as the different modes of operation, per se. The different differentiators come in with such things like, with our newest release coming out, we'll be the first SSL VPN vendor that we're aware of to announce Vista support. So we've learned that while corporations are not rolling out Vista wholeheartedly right now, all of these home machines that are now being sold through the various OEMs are having Vista loaded on there. So, you know, people coming from home machines will need Vista support, and they've kind of changed the whole scheme for Vista, but that's a different podcast. Secondly, we have a real easy visual policy editor, which will allow you to create those pre-logon sequence checks to ensure that the host that you're either going to allow or deny access to abides by certain policies. You know, real visual, it's point and click, you can add, you know, little things here and there. Well, that really does separate us from the others in that, because they don't have something like this. And the key piece about this too is when auditors come in, you know, now that regulatories, you know, are sort of the overriding theme here, they can just look at that, you know, visual policy editor when and say, oh, okay, that's your policy. Cool, done. Print it up. Let me have a copy of it. So real easy for the administrator to set up those policies initially and then to determine, attach those policies to the resources so that, again, depending on if I'm coming from my own corporate laptop, you know, my home desktop, a PDA device, or even potentially, you know, a kiosk computer at a convention, you know, all those different scenarios, the same username and password potentially will give me access to some, none, or all of my resources. So it's, you know, endpoint security, a lot of people talk about endpoint checks, but that's kind of the beginning. Yeah, so I've checked this host, and I've now allowed him in, but what do I do after that? What if he decides to turn off his antivirus once he's in? So making sure that those initial checks are then carried through to whatever, you know, resources resources that are available to the end user.
Okay. Well, we've bitten off a lot today, Pete. If folks are listening and they'd like to find out a little bit more about F5 Networks, the FirePass, and also a little bit more about secure remote access, is there a website that they can go to?
Absolutely. www.f5.com. And I believe specific for FirePass would be www.f5.com/FirePass.
And that's FirePass.
Correct.
All right.
And F5, five being a digit.
Right, right. Very important. Okay. Pete Silva is one of the technical marketing managers over at F5 Networks. As always, Pete, good to talk to you again, and look forward to finding out more about some of these security solutions that F5 offers, and just more about disaster recovery and business continuity as well. Thanks for being with us on the podcast today, Pete.
Yeah, great. Thank you. This was fun.